This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington. Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. Great to see you again. Hope you're out and about, enjoying whatever's going on, really, because the weather will do what it will do. But we've had some lovely dry days. Oh, it makes you realise when you get a little run of dry days just how wet it's been for so long. And the ground is just getting a little bit firmer underfoot, less slipping and sliding. And there's a bit more evidence of the revving of the engine of spring. Here in the UK, we're getting some definite signs. Oh, got flies in the air. Oh, that's not quite so good. So they're having a little dance in the sun. Whatever they are, they're little midgy type things. They're not quite so welcome. That's what comes with the warming weather and stuff as well. So we've had on the lake, we've had quite a bit of noise like this. We've got about seven. There's a main pair, and then there's the other five, which are in today. So we've had the main pair, and then we've had another pair, and they kind of got on with each other briefly, chasing each other around a bit. There's a lot of kind of vying for territory. They're trying to control what's going on, but it's a lake. It's water. It's much more difficult to boss the area when you're trying to do it on water. But that's what they're doing. So that's good. They're kind of doing the thing. It's normal for them to shout a lot at each other. Later on, once we got a nest there, and things have sort of settled a bit and worked out who's going to have the nesting spot, who's going to stay, and who's going to go off and do something else somewhere else, then it gets a bit quieter. And it's only when there's an extreme situation to be protected that the male will make noise. Generally goes very, very much quieter. And that runs through once they've hatched the eggs, and we got the fledglings, and we've got the little chicks running around. That's a lot later, not for quite some time. So they haven't even decided on who's having a nest where yet. So still lots of shouting to be done. So the alpacas are enjoying the warmth of the sun. It's not quite hot here yet, but we got a bit of warmth in the sun. The angle's changed a bit, and it's nice. I'm sat having a chlorophyll moment, where if I had chlorophyll, then I'd be sitting in the sun, just basking in, soaking in the rays. So I've got the sun on my back. As I speak, the sun is on my back, just warming me nicely, nicely, nicely. So that's nice. Taking advantage of being out and about. Taking advantage of being outside. Did a little bit of fence repairs, sorted out the gate that was a bit suspect. Little pedestrian gate that we go through regularly, and the post finally gave up the ghost and disintegrated. So that's been replaced, and it's now secure again. So that's good. And the alpacas are spending a lot of time out and about. I've fed them now, so they're going to be having their stuff, having the feed, and then they'll wander off. But they go out away from the stable, and they go onto the bank over by the lake, and that's where they're spending the nights. They're over there in the morning still, and that's nice because there's not as much mucking out to be done in the stable. We could do that. And I think it's interesting because the boys are doing that as well, thinking about it. They're moving halfway down their field as well. That's interesting. I'd forgotten about that. I don't think that's because that's where the girls are. I think that's just that's a good place to be. So the nights are obviously not too bad. They're a bit still. Open sky, so there's a bit of frost and stuff. We've had a couple of mornings of misty, murky stuff where it's been taking a bit of time for the sun to warm up and sort of burn through the low cloud and the mist. fog is a bit overstating it. It's not quite as big as and thick as fog, but it was definitely mist. And we particularly get it here because of the lake comes off the water. But that's kind of cleared now. That's good. And we're going into another few days. I think we might have some rain tomorrow. But then we go back to a few days of nice warmer in the day and warmer in the evenings and night as well. So not so much frost for a few days. Should be good. So we might even get the girls, the three coats that are on at the moment, might get those off tomorrow morning when we do our next feeding. So we've been topping up the food and getting things. Well, it's just an ongoing thing. And yeah, spring. There you go. When we do our planning, thinking about keeping alpacas, thinking about all the physical structure stuff that we need, like fences and gates and buildings, if you can build that into your, if you haven't already got them, you can build that into your thing. We talked about that last week, about good shelter, good accommodation for them. We didn't talk so much about field shelters. You can use bushes and trees and things, and that's a useful thing to have. And you can generate those by planting and obviously kind of managing what you've got. But I think also having a field shelter, having a place where in the field there is some extra shelter which gives you the shade, gives you the protection from the really bad weather. They will use it. They will go. And occasionally you need to do some stuff with feeding or whatever. When we did the... We got the crea and we need to do the weaning, separating off from the mums. It meant that we could use that. There was some shelter for them there. There was a place where we could store food and we could also put the food out, even if it was raining. So having a field shelter is really quite helpful. It doesn't have to be necessarily closed in. Some of these sheds that you can get online, there's an alpaca shelter. Yeah, and they just don't use them. And it's because they're too closed in. And we've really found that Yorkshire boarding is really helpful to be able to... It stops the wind howling through. And it's about half of the height of the structure. Some air movement around. Let's light in. And you're not going to get driving rain coming through. You get a little bit of dampness, but not really soaking wet. So it works quite well as a way of doing that. I saw this wonderful... design. Where did I see that? I can't remember now. Oh, that was a long time ago. So it's one of those distant memories and I can't remember the source, but there we are. And it was Yorkshire boarding. It was hit and miss boarding. So you've got the plank and then you've got a gap and then you've got the plank again. So that's what I mean by Yorkshire boarding. I'm assuming it was used in Yorkshire or favoured in Yorkshire. But this was the side of a barn and they were all kind of half... It's almost like a door that you could slide. So when they were in line with each other, you got the gaps, and then you slide, and then you fill the gaps with the plank behind. So it's like a sliding door, and it just meant that you could seal off the wall and make it a solid wall and protect them from the really bad weather through the winter. That's quite a nice little idea. A bit clever on the scale of things. And it does assume that you've got a barn. I know. I'm sorry. I know. It does assume you've got a barn, and most of us haven't got barns. We sometimes call something a barn when it's not really a barn. But the scale of it, if you can have something that's big enough to get all your animals in, that's good. If you've got males and females, that's a challenge. You can't put them all in the same building, I suggest. It's going to cause interesting problems. So, yeah, you need to be thinking about field shelters. So in the field, a shelter. It's not as developed as a... stable or a barn, but it's going to give enough protection, but it also gives you somewhere where you can have some food, you can have some water, you can have some other bits and pieces that you might need. If it's possible, having the front of that in a way that has a gate which you can close over, so you can actually put them in and close the gate over, that could be useful. So then you have to think about positioning near the fence, around the fence, so you can use the fence as a... You can kind of work them against the fence and along the fence, and then they're into the field shelter. I've got a field shelter version one. It was our version one field shelter, and it's in the middle. And actually, it's very... You can't get them in there. We haven't got a gate on it anyway, but you can't force them in. They kind of go round and round. We can end up chasing each other around the the outside, which isn't, they're very smart. Once they've worked out that's what you try to do, they will avoid that. So you need a fence to work against, work them against, the, you know, push them a bit on, and then across the fence and into the building, the field shelter. A lot of these things, the design and the things that we need, we don't necessarily know when we start. So we plan the best we can. Go and steal some ideas from other breeders. Ask them what's worked and what hasn't. So you've got an opportunity to learn from other people's mistakes. Always a good thing to do. And then you can start to work out what it is that you need in your situation. What can you apply from somebody else's learning? What can you apply where you are and make life easier? That's what it's all about, really, to make the whole process of managing your alpacas slightly easier, to be able to have things in the right place, accessible, able to contain them when they need containing. This other field where we've got the open field shelter, and it provides the shelter, but it doesn't allow us to do any real husbandry or anything up there. It's just what it, there's not worth trying to do the extra work there. It's just position wise, it's difficult. We did have it in a different position, but it blew away or blew over. And that's another challenge, of course. And you need to find a way of securing the field shelter so they don't flip over and travel across a field in really high winds. The other one we've got, we have got a gate on that, and we do use that. That's kind of not really used. It's an end of the valley that the boys have access to, but they don't, they go down there for grazing, but they come back to the other field shelter, number three version, and that is where they will be expecting to be fed, and that's where they'll cushion and take shelter. The other one, occasionally you find that they've been in there, but we're not feeding them in there. They don't have any reason to go in there, and they tend not to use it very much at all, really. But it's just there, just in case. But that was a field with the field shelter in it that was used for weaning. When we had boys, then we could put them in that field. They had the shelter, they had the field, and they could share a fence line with the older boys until they got settled a bit more and got used to each other. The trouble is that the big boys will bully the little ones. That's what happens. So you've got to be careful about introducing them in a way that means that there's enough space, there's enough interaction possibilities, but without the big boys just completely dominating and bullying the little ones. They're sorted out in the end, but they need a bit of adjustment. So when you first separate them over to be like that, it's more challenging to avoid that bullying thing. Little groups are great, but sometimes you don't have them. You know, if you have three Kriya or five Kriya born, and you've got, you know, have you got enough boys to do the separating out? To have, you know, if you've got three Kriya and only one of them's male, then how do you separate that male when it comes to the weaning and the separation? When they get a bit older and the adult behaviour starts to being demonstrated, how do you separate them? It's more difficult. You know, all those things come into play. If you've got enough space and enough animals, then it kind of works its way through. But occasionally you get a year when you have more. We had five, one year we had five and four females and one male. But we had other younger males. We could kind of get them mixed in. But yeah, these are challenging things that we need to think through and work through, just to be aware of in the early stages. But you'll find a way. Ingenuity. It's the middle name of alpaca owners. There's something that you'll have to find a solution for that isn't obvious. You will. And you can ask advice. And there's a really active WhatsApp group in our area, which is great. So there's a lot of messages flying backwards and forwards, people asking about things, asking for advice, sharing photographs, sharing ideas and experiences. And it's really great. And there's a live call as well, monthly call for people to be able to get online and talk things through as well as some teaching opportunities. So there's people doing things about biosecurity. We had one recently, and other ones to do with like parasites and other bits and pieces around that. So if you can find a way of being part of a group like that, ideally locally to you, that's really useful because you can start to interact with people and go visit and that kind of thing. So build a community where you are. And if there isn't one, then see if you can make one. Start reaching out to people, just sharing the fellow traveller, sharing the journey together. It's very valuable. And every alpaca owner I've met is just very keen to meet others, to know about and to talk about alpacas and to learn more. So make the opportunities and link up with people locally to where you are, where you can. It's interesting, I was thinking just this morning actually, that the number of alpacas continues to grow. They get everywhere. There are alpacas everywhere. And they are kept more widely these days. And the numbers still grow. Still relatively small compared to sheep, I know. But it's moving in the right direction. And it's becoming more established. So lots of opportunities to gain by being part of something bigger. And if you can help make those things happen and take some of the strain so it doesn't just end up on one person who's organising the whole thing. We all have difficult times, busy times. We all have things that are going on. That means we can't be as available. And where you can, it's good to invest in the future for other people, but also for yourself. Do encourage you, make links where you can. And there's various shows being advertised and people are booking animals in to the different classes and the groups. And that can all be good experience, both to experience going, but also to be involved in showing. And people will give help and support there as well. So part of the broader picture, we can't all be involved in everything, of course. And for some, the numbers, the size, the scale that we are means that we're never going to be one of those that has the ability to do the bigger thing. So be who you are, be where you are, but take advantage of things and be generous with other people who are interested, but also who are wanting to learn and make opportunities to try and do that. Be good. And that's one of the beauties of online stuff these days. There's lots of things you can access and connect into people online. And it's almost as good as being together. Not quite, I know. It's not, is it? Not quite like being on farm and seeing other people's alpacas. That's always fun. So here we go. Take some time, if you can, to spend a bit of time with your alpacas. Hope the weather is doing okay where you are. And everything else is going the way it should be. Not quite sure what's happening with the spring. Is it early? Is it late? It's about on course, I think. I'm not sure it's widely adrift from normal. We're going to have a run of sunny weather, which is good, so that hopefully we'll get things moving a bit more. But then, of course, you need a bit more rain now and again just to keep the grass growing. But I think we're heading the right direction. And before you know it, it will be round to shearing again. it comes round quick, doesn't it? There you go. And then there's the crea season when they're all starting to be born, and looking forward to that as well. We haven't got any crea coming this year, but remember it fondly and well, with that stress that comes with it as well. Take care. Bye for now.
This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.